Amen. Let's take our Bibles tonight. Open the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It's a little bit quieter in here when all the kids are gone, isn't it? Matthew chapter 6. And I love seeing all those kids getting those awards and things, and especially learning, memorizing scripture, learning about the Bible. That's a blessing. And if you have kids in Master Club, please make sure to thank their teachers. They spend a lot of time preparing the lessons and things and getting things ready. And so make sure you let them know. Brother Greg and Miss Leah know how much you appreciate that. There's a lot of work that goes into figuring out all the badges and all the awards and things like that and who's in what class. So make sure you let them know how much you appreciate that. Matthew chapter 6. Last week we started looking at the topic of fasting. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin in verse number 16. He says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And so last week we started looking at this topic of fasting, and we looked at the warnings that Jesus gives on fasting. We see it's not for show. Jesus says here they were disfiguring their faces. They were trying to make themselves look miserable on purpose so that people would notice them and ask them, "Hey, what's going on? Are you sick?" "No, I'm fasting," right? Makes them look much more spiritual. And so they were kind of trying to advertise their spirituality by making sure people knew that they were fasting. And Jesus says that's not the purpose of fasting. It's not for show. It's not for salvation. You don't earn salvation through fasting. It's not just to be a religious ritual. It is to God. It's something that is in a personal thing between you and God. And that's why he says in verse 18, "But unto thy Father which is in secret," right? We're doing it. There's a personal thing here going on between me and God, right? Not everybody has to know about it, okay? And then we saw the right ways to fast, verse 17 and 18. He says, "When thou fast, anoint thy head, wash thy face." Again, he's saying just appear normal, maintain a normal appearance, focus on the right audience, which should be God, not man. That's not the purpose of fasting, is to impress men, but it's for God. And we're trusting in God who sees in secret to reward openly. And so we're looking to God through this, right? But let's look tonight at when should we fast, okay? Again, if you missed last week, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it. We don't have time to go through it all again tonight, but go back through, listen to it. It will help you to understand what we're talking about tonight. When should we fast? When should a person fast? And what is the correct answer? Anybody? When should a person fast? Nobody knows? Aaron? Yeah. You fast when you feel like it's when you need to fast, right? And again, when we're talking about fasting, we're not just talking about not eating, right? That's what fasting means, but we're replacing that with food. And we'll see that as we go through along this. But again, there's no specific time of year that a person has to fast. There's no specific times in a year that a person has to fast. You don't have to start the year fasting. You don't have to start January 1st. Okay, I'm going to fast. You don't have to end the year fasting. There's nothing like that. There's no place in Scripture that says a specific number of times that you have to fast or anything like that. But fasting is something that is practiced when a special need arises and when we are led of the Holy Spirit of God. Because fasting is a personal matter. Again, we talked about how it can be a public thing. There were national times of fasting, and even for our church, there have been times when we have encouraged our church to fast and pray about certain things, but it's a personal matter. In fact, there are over 30 positive examples of men and women of God fasting in Scripture. Okay. Now, we don't have time to look up all of those this evening, but I want us to look up a few of these and just see what was going on during this time of this person fasting, all right? Let's look, first of all, in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter number 9. Again, we're not going to spend long on these. I just want to kind of get an idea of what the purpose was, what they were doing. So in Daniel chapter 9, of course, we understand that Daniel is a captive, right? He is in captivity. And it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So Daniel is reading the scriptures, and he says, I was reading through Jeremiah, right? And I begin to understand what the purpose of the captivity is, what these 70 years is, right? And notice he says, and I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity, and have done wickedly and have rebelled by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. So notice what's happening. Why is Daniel fasting here? What is the purpose of his fasting? Just kind of in the couple of verses that we've read here. What's the purpose of his fasting? Repentance. He is confessing to God the sin of his people. He understands. He's been reading through the book of Jeremiah. And he understands that the reason why Israel is in the condition that they are in is because of their sin. And that breaks Daniel's heart. And so Daniel begins to fast and pray, right? So we see there's time of repentance. And again, Daniel, I don't think Daniel's necessarily saying that it's because of his sin that they're in captivity, but he's recognizing his nation as a whole was sinful and wicked. I wonder, again, not saying that anyone has to do this, but I wonder when was the last time that the sin of our nation broke our hearts? Well, it's their sin, they're gonna deal with it. Well, that's true, but it's still our nation. It's still our people. We're Americans, right? And we can obviously see and tell that our nation is turning away from God. Does that do anything to us? Or do we just kind of go on about our day? Well, it did something to Daniel. It broke his heart and it caused him to seek the face of the Lord by prayer and fasting and sackcloth and ashes, okay? And so even Daniel, even through this, is gonna be even seeking for wisdom in what God is doing as well. How about we go over to Ezra chapter 8, the book of Ezra. Ezra chapter number 8. Ezra chapter number 8. Ezra chapter number 8, verse number 21. He says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God to seek of him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. For I was ashamed to require of the king a band of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy in the way, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath against all them that forsake him. So we fasted and besought our God for this, and he was entreated of us. So Ezra, he's proclaiming a fast. And notice, it's not just Ezra fasting, but it's also those that are with Ezra in the company that he has, that they are fasting as well. And what is Ezra fasting for? What are they fasting for? What is the purpose? Again, I know we can't read the whole context just for sake of time, but can we figure out what is it that they're fasting about? What is he doing? What's he fasting? What are they fasting for? Wisdom, they're fasting for wisdom. What else? Did you notice what he said there? What is it? guidance. There's guidance, yes. Protection, right? But also for God to show himself real, right? What does it say? He said, hey, we're praying and we're fasting. We're asking God for guidance. But here's the thing. They said, we don't want to have to go to the king and ask for protection because we've told the king that our God is a great God. We've told the king that those who seek him, God's hand will be upon them. And those who forsake him, God's against them. And we want God to show himself real in this situation. We want God to show himself real, not only to the king, but also to all those around, that our God is the true God. That's a pretty good thing to fast for, right? I mean, they're seeking for protection, they're seeking wisdom, but they're saying, God, we don't want to go to the king. We don't want to rely on him for protection. He says, because we had spoken unto the king, saying, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. So we fasted and besought God for this, and he was entreated of us. God did this. So they're fasting for wisdom. They're fasting for protection. They're fasting because they want God to be seen as the true God. Right? Let's look at another one. Let's just go, while we're here in the Old Testament, go to Esther. Just over a little bit, Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. Notice in verse number 10. And Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and all the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except so to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And watch what happens. He says, then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. And neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So what is Esther asking? She's asking Mordecai. She's asking all the other Jews that are there in the palace in Shushan. She's asking all these other Jews to fast. And what is she asking them to fast for? Deliverance. Because she says, I'm going to go into the king and he hasn't called me to go in. And the law is, if you go into the king unannounced, uncalled for, and he doesn't put forth the golden scepter, you're dead. Doesn't matter who you are. And so she says, I haven't been called in for 30 days. He hasn't called me for 30 days. And if I go in and do this, it could be my life. She says, so I want you to pray and fast for me. What do you think maybe she was asking them to pray about, right? I mean, put yourself in her shoes, all right? I'm going to get ready to go into the king. And if he doesn't raise the golden scepter, I'm dead. I think she's praying for deliverance, no doubt. But what else do you think she's probably praying for and encouraging them to pray for? Favor, mercy. I think we're missing one thing before we even get to the king. What? Courage to even go in. She's got to be the one. Mordecai's not going in. None of the other Jews in Shushan are going in. She's the one that's going in. And so she's saying, you guys fast and pray for 3 days. Don't eat, don't drink. You fast and pray for 3 days. Pray for me, she says. We're going to fast and pray. Pray that I have the courage to actually do this, knowing that it could be my life. Pray that there is deliverance, that he puts forth that golden scepter and that I don't die. Pray that through this, what happens? The Jews are going to be spared. Think there, and notice, she gives a timeline. Did you notice with Ezra and the other passages, it doesn't tell us how long Daniel fasted? Didn't tell us how long Ezra fasted? She says, we're gonna fast 3 days and three nights. Now, is there anywhere in the Bible that says you have to fast 3 days? Nope. But that's just what Esther said. She said, you fast for 3 days and three nights. We're gonna do this. And we're praying for God's deliverance, praying for courage to go forward, right? We're praying for, in impossible situations, for courage, strength, deliverance in these impossible situations, right? Let's go to the New Testament, all right? Let's go to the New Testament a little bit. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, right? Acts chapter 13. We'll see a couple New Testament examples here. Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So what do we find the church? The church is fasting here. This is not just an individual person fasting, but it's the church fasting together. What are they fasting about? What is happening here? Why are they fasting here? What do we see? Right, they're getting ready to send out the first missionaries, right? They're getting ready to send out Paul and Barnabas, right? They're getting ready to send them out as the first missionaries. And so as a church together, what do we find them doing? They're fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. Lord, we want to make sure we're doing the right thing. By the way, I would say when a church probably starts any type of new ministry, that's not a bad pattern to follow. Fasting and praying and saying, Lord, we want this to be about you, not about us, right? I know there's been several times when the Lord's kind of led me to do something new that I'm like, God, I really need you to know this is of you. I remember when the Lord led me to start the radio station, and I took some days and fasted and prayed about it. I said, Lord, I need to know this is not just me. This is you. I remember when we were getting ready to make the transition to come back and take over First Baptist Church. I spent some days fasting and praying about this. Lord, I really need to know, is this you? I need to know that you're in this. Even when we were getting ready to buy this building a couple years ago, spent some time fasting and praying. Lord, I need to know, this is you. Again, does it say how long they fasted and prayed? Doesn't say, does it? Right? But they did. They fasted and they prayed and they sought God in this, right? And they did it as a church. They did it as a body of believers, okay? And so during the times when new ministries are beginning and men are being sent out to proclaim the gospel, there ought to be that time of fasting and praying. By the way, this is not something new. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, notice in verse number 1, of course, at the end of chapter 3, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist, and it says in chapter 4, verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So what do we find? Jesus fasting as he's about to begin his earthly ministry, okay? He's fasting, he's praying, he's there alone with God. He's fasting, he's praying about these things. And of course, the Bible tells us that he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, okay? That's a long time. We understand why it says he was an hungered. And of course, the very first temptation that the devil brings along is, guess what? Food, right? Because he knew he was weak in this area because he'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, okay? So even Jesus, before he began his earthly ministry, we find Jesus fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. There's many, many others. again, throughout there, again, there's about 30 different examples, positive examples of men and women of God fasting. Can other people who are not saved fast? Well, of course they can. Nobody says that fasting is just a Christian thing. There are lots of religions that fasting is a religious ritual that they perform. Many times it's done trying to earn grace, earn salvation, right? Trying to earn being right with God, and so they can hopefully get to heaven better. Sometimes people just do it of their own accord. But it's not just, whenever we see fasting, sometimes we even see unbelievers fasting as well. Now, I don't know that there's, and if there is prayer, I know religious rituals will involve prayer and things, but the unfortunate thing is, notice what it says, thy Father which seeth in secret, right? So in order for fasting and prayer to be seen, recognized, and if I could use the word accepted by God, you have to have a relationship with him. He has to be your Father. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. A lost person can fast and pray all they want, and it's not going to do anything for God. It doesn't impress God in any way, right? Again, fasting is not some way to try to impress God. That's not what we're doing with it, okay? And so we see many different examples of fasting and praying. Ezra, we see Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. We see Nehemiah fasting. We see some of the kings fasting, even mourning over the defeat of God's people. We see Paul several times talking about that he spent time fasting and praying, okay? Times of repentance, confession, revival. We see that in Joel. We see it again in Nehemiah. But again, when we go back to Matthew chapter 6 here, there is a promise for biblical fasting. And this is what he says in verse number 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God's promise for biblical fasting is that he will reward us, right? He sees. Now again, don't forget what I said last week. Just because someone takes time to fast and pray doesn't mean that God is going to answer the way you want it to be answered, okay? Again, the whole purpose of fasting and praying is just to really, we're really getting serious about this. This is something that we've really got to determine what God wants in this. And through that time of fasting and praying, God may show us that what we're praying for isn't his will. That's not what we should be doing, right? Or he may reveal that that is what he wants us to do, okay? And so that time of fasting and praying is just, it's a time to get alone. Again, we're getting away from distraction. Notice he said, thy Father which seeth in secret. So just like prayer, get into your closet, right? Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Same thing with fasting. He says, again, it's not a show. It's not a performance. We do it. It's between us and God. Even when, you know, even if we're fasting as a church, let's say, let's say we're fasting about something. Maybe there's something going on. We want to fast about it. And we say, okay, we're gonna take time to fast this week. And so we would say, again, I'm just using this as an example, right? How many people can fast on Monday, all right? This group over here is going to fast on Monday. Who could fast on Tuesday, all right? This group here is going to fast on Tuesday, all right? Who's going to fast on Wednesday, all right? This group over here is going to fast on Wednesday, right? And so, you know, this group over here isn't going to be going around on Monday. Oh, boy, this is tough. Oh, man. Oh, boy, this is really tough. Man, this is hard. No, that's not the purpose, right? And even doesn't even have to be together, okay? Obviously, if you're at work and at home or different places like that, you can fast anywhere that you're at. Everybody doesn't have to come to the church and all of a sudden now at church, everybody's fasting and praying. No, it can be done individually wherever you are, but we're spending time specifically giving that time in prayer to God, talking with God, really seeking God in this, okay? And so this is what this idea of fasting and prayer is. Now, why is fasting so important, okay? Got a couple minutes here. I know the kids probably want more time in their party, so we can probably go for another 45 minutes to an hour, I would think, all right? So, you know, we want the kids to be happy, right? Well, we got one person happy for the kids. All right, that's great. Okay. Why is fasting so important, right? Well, I believe as we look at fasting through the scripture, and again, we don't have time to look up all the passages here, but it demonstrates the earnest desire of the heart. There's an earnest desire of our heart to really want to know what God's will is in this, okay? You say, well, I want to know what God's will is, and I'm just going to spend time praying. I get that, right? I really get that. But whenever we're willing to do without something, whenever we're willing to sacrifice, it shows there's a seriousness about it, okay? Whenever we're willing to say, and let's be honest, whenever we're willing to say, all right, I'm going to go without food, we know people are getting serious, all right? All right, whenever Americans are willing to say, hey, we're going to go without food and we're going to fast and we're going to pray, we know something serious is going on in America, right? But that's the thing. He says it's supposed to be a serious thing. It shows the sincere desire of our heart that, God, I am willing to set aside what my body needs physically. I'm willing to set this aside, and I'm going to take that time that maybe I would have given to food, right? Maybe it's at work, right? And my lunch break is normally this time, and that's when I would eat. But God, I'm going to fast and pray during my lunch break instead of eating. And I'm just going to spend that time. I'm not going to eat, and I'm just going to spend that time praying and seeking your face and looking to you and talking to you. And maybe it's maybe at home at dinner time, and say, you know, hey, mom's fixed food for the family, right? We know kids, you got to eat. But if it's just one, or maybe both, maybe mom and dad are both fasting or something, we say, hey, you guys are going to eat, and mom and dad are fasting. Again, you're not trying to impress your kids, but I think it's important that you teach your kids what fasting is as well, right? It's important to teach them why it's important. Again, there's no set time period of how long you have to do it or when you have to do it, but you can teach your kids the importance of fasting. And hey, mom and dad aren't going to eat. We're fasting. We're praying about something. Maybe it's a job situation, or maybe we're thinking about a house, or maybe we're thinking about moving or something like that. And we're going to really pray and we're going to fast about something. So you guys go ahead and eat, but mom and dad are going to spend that time praying and fasting. We're not going to eat. We're going to be in the other room, and we're just going to be praying. Again, you're not making a big deal about it. You're like, you know, feel so, you know, you guys should be lucky. You guys get to eat. We're not eating, you know. You're not trying to impress your kids, okay? And so it does. It shows an earnest desire of the heart, okay? Again, we're saying, God, I need you more than food. I need you more than this food that I have or that I need. And I think even Joel chapter 2, verse number 12 kind of shows that. Even in Hebrews 11, 6, when we're seeking after God, it's a sign of humility. It's a sign of humility. And Psalms 35, 13 shows that we're humbling ourselves before God, right? We're willing to humble ourselves and say, God, I need this. I need to know your will in this. This isn't just, you know, should I go to this birthday party or not, right? This is, Lord, I really need to know your will about whether this is the right job to take. I really need to know if we're supposed to buy this house. I really know if we're supposed to make this move. I really know, I really need to know this, God. I am seeking you, and I'm coming to you. And by the way, can I be honest with you? There have been times when I have fasted and prayed, and at the end of my fasting and praying, I still didn't have an answer. I didn't have an answer at the end. Now, eventually I did get an answer, but again, it wasn't right at, okay, man, all right, boy, I see you're fasting and praying. All right, now I'm going to answer you. No, but it's showing God our humbleness. We're humbling ourselves before him. We're showing the sincerity and the desire of our heart that, God, we really want to know this, okay? And so you can choose to say, hey, I'm going to fast for 3 days with this. You could say, I'm going to fast for 7 days. You can say, I'm going to fast one day. Right? Again, that's totally up to whatever you feel the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Okay? There's no set answer as to how long and how often that you have to fast on these things. Okay? But it is a sign of humility. And I do believe that fasting, and we kind of put them together so often, but I do believe it should be accompanied with prayer. It's not just about not doing without something, right? I'm going to fast, but at the same time, when I should be eating, I'm going to be praying, right? So there's also prayer is accompanying it. And a lot of times when we think about fasting, we just automatically assume fasting and praying, okay? Unless, again, if you're thinking about fasting as a diet, okay, maybe you're not praying or something like that. Maybe you're praying to lose weight, but that's not really what we're talking about here, okay? We're talking about fasting and then that accompanying it with prayer, okay? Really taking time to seek the Lord. And again, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't mean that you have to pray for 24 hours straight or 4 days in a row. You can't do anything but pray. Now, if that's the way the Lord leads you, fine. No problem there. But it may just be, like I said, it may just be you're taking that time when you would normally eat. And you're instead of eating, you're gonna fast and you're gonna pray. It may be the Lord leads you to say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna pray an hour a day for this, right? I'm not gonna eat. And so sometime throughout the day, I'm gonna pray an hour and really seek God for this, okay? Again, it's kind of up to you. Right? In this. You've got to fast, every time that you eat, you've got to pray for 45 minutes. No, it's kind of whatever the Lord is leading you to do in this, okay? But understand, when we talk about fasting, please get this. We are not trying to manipulate God. So often we think, well, if I do this, then God has to do this. Like we're trying to manipulate him. It's not what fasting is. Again, if you're coming into it trying to manipulate God and get God to just automatically rubber stamp whatever it is that you're asking him to do, then you're coming into fasting with the wrong idea. The wrong idea, okay? And so it's not about trying to manipulate God. It's not about trying to earn God's favor. Oh God, look at me, I fasted. Don't I deserve more? That's the attitude of the Pharisees. That's the attitude of the hypocrites, right? Fasting isn't necessarily even proving how spiritual we are. Look at me, I'm fasting. I must be more spiritual than anybody else. Look, can I tell you, if you never fast in your life, that doesn't mean you're not spiritual, okay? And if somebody else fasts and you don't, that doesn't mean that that person's more spiritual than you are. Again, it's not proving our spirituality, but fasting is aligning our heart with God. We're trying to get our heart and our mind and our thoughts in tune with what God is trying to tell us. And so we're trying to remove distractions. We're sharpening that spiritual focus by getting distractions out of the way and just focusing on him and what his will and what his desire is for us. Whether it is what we are asking for or not. Because if I'm wanting his will in this, I'm not just asking God to rubber stamp and say, give it to me. I'm saying, God, I really need to know this. Please show me yes or no. Make that clear. I need to know, is this of you or is this not of you? I don't want to move forward if this is not of you. And so it's not just about trying to get something from God. It's really aligning our heart with God, removing those distractions, and really trying to sharpen our spiritual focus in finding out what God's will is about this. And again, it may not be during that time of fasting that you get an answer, right? It may be a week later after you're done fasting and praying that God answers your prayer. Do you remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel's praying and an angel comes, if I remember right off the top of my head, I believe it's 30 days later. And the angel comes and says, hey, Daniel, I'm here to give you the answer to God's prayer. And he says, it's not that God didn't hear you and it's not that God didn't answer you. It's because I was hindered. I couldn't get here to give you God's answer. Well, why was the angel hindered? He was hindered by the prince of Persia. Not the Disney movie. The Prince of Persia, a demonic spirit, a fallen angel, had hindered the angel from getting from God to Daniel. Okay? So don't think, well, man, I fasted and prayed and God didn't give me an answer. So what was the point of that? Well, I just never gonna do that again. Hold on a second. What are you doing it for? What's the purpose of it? Okay? If the purpose is just to get an answer, bam, 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 God, show me, show me, show me. I need it now, now, now. You're coming into this trying to manipulate God on your terms. That's not what it's about, okay? And so that the idea of fasting and praying is about seeking God and making sure that our heart is in line with what his will is. And again, when we look here, I believe the central warning of this passage that Jesus is teaching us about fasting, the central warning is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Whether it's in front of men being hypocritical or whether it's in front of God being hypocritical. He's saying, don't be hypocritical about this, right? Again, a hypocrite is just performing outwardly, and yet inwardly, there's nothing there. We're not really seeking God. We just want God to be impressed, and we want everybody else to be impressed. You can give, and you can be fake. He told us that, right? When he talked about giving. You can pray, and you can be fake. And you can fast and be fake. That's what he showed us in all three of these things. Giving, praying, fasting, don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a hypocrite in these things, right? This is why these things are so important. And so God is not impressed with outward displays. God is looking at the heart. And so I believe this passage hinges on one truth. And this is the principle that I believe governs all of this, whether it's giving, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting. Here's, I believe, the most important truth here. Your audience determines your reward. Your audience determines your reward. All three times, Jesus said, if you're doing this as an outward performance, you have your reward. That's your reward. But if you're doing it for God, God will reward you in the way that he wants to reward you. So who's the audience that you're doing it for? Whether it's giving, whether it's praying, whether it's fasting, who's it for? Because if it's for anybody else other than God, he's saying you're being a hypocrite about it. It's hypocritical. It's all just an outward show. And so as he's showing us here, don't live for just the temporary reward. We need to live for God. It's an eternal reward. God sees it. He may not reward right away, but we'll see how God does reward, maybe down the line, maybe down the future. Maybe he does reward right away. We don't know. That's up to God. And that's what we're doing. We're leaving it in God's hands. We're trusting God. God, I'm just going to trust you. This is what I'm praying about. I'm seeking your will, seeking your guidance. I'm really trusting you in this. Okay? Now, I don't normally do this, but I think just because this is something that has been misconstrued and not really taught a lot about. Does anybody have a really quick question about fasting? I don't normally give you guys opportunity to ask questions in here, but just kind of with the topic here, does anybody have a question about fasting? Anybody have a quick question about fasting? Yeah, Aaron? I mean, that's a good question. He says, does fasting have to be for a full day? Can it just be for a few hours or something? I think when you look in scripture, the idea of fasting has to do with like a whole day period. And let me just say this as well. There are other instances in scripture where there are other things you can fast from other than just food. Okay. Paul talks a little bit about this, especially in the marriage relationship. He talks about that you can actually fast or do without even the sexual relationship. There's a certain period of time, he said, but make sure you're both in agreement on this. There's a fasting from that, okay? Fasting may not just be for food, although that's typically what it has to do with. There can be other things that you're fasting from as well. You're not eating it, but it's just kind of in that same category. But normally when we find in scripture the idea of fasting, it at least refers to a day of fasting. But again, if somebody says, Pastor, I can't, I'm not physically able not to go a whole day without eating. I could go, you know, I could, instead of having three meals, I could have one meal and skip two, but I have to have something through the day. My body physically, there's just some medical things there. I have to have something. I get that, and I think God understands that too, okay? And so if you're able to say, hey, I'm gonna go without a meal or two, but I have to have something sometime during the day, I think God understands that. I think, again, it's about the heart, right? It's about the heart issue. So if somebody says, well, I can't go a whole day without food because of, you know, some health reasons or something, so I can never fast, I don't want you to go that far, right? Maybe there is something you can fast in. Maybe it may not be a whole day. Maybe it's just 8 hours. I'm going to fast for 8 hours, right? Or maybe there's something else you could fast from. Maybe like, I'm going to fast from this for a day. Wouldn't probably do a lot of us harm to do that, right? I'm not going to be on my phone. I'm not going to be on the internet. I'm not going to be on the computer. I'm not going to be on an iPad. I'm going to fast from that for whatever period of time. So again, it may not necessarily be food, right? But I do think when we look at scripture, the fasting has the idea of it being a day period. But if you're physically not able to do that with food, I get that. I understand, right? Anybody else have a quick question about fasting? All right. Now Sunday, I know everybody's going to come in and be like, Pastor, I'm fasting today. I'm fasting. They're like, stop it. Don't do that. All right, let's pray. And then Brother Joel will come and share some prayer requests. Father, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, thank you for your word and how you just, you teach us, Lord, how to just draw closer to you. And Lord, you desire our heart to be right. And you've showed us in these three areas, Lord, what true worship really is. It's not about what man sees. Lord, in our giving and our praying and our fasting, Lord, that our hearts would be right with you. And we would just draw closer to you and align our heart with what your will is for us. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us in this. Lord, just thank you for giving us instruction on what not to do, but Lord, also giving us instruction on what we should do and how we should do these things. And so, thank you for your word, Lord. Help us to apply these things to our life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.